Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. We don't put up with much of anything at all around here. Except trying to help focus you on the events of the week, which it would probably be better for you not to even think about them. Most of them. Most of the stuff we're going to bring you, probably better left unspoken. But some of it, perhaps, is worth hearing about. I'll let you decide as the... So I'll start with some good news. Last week, we reported that the Centers for Disease Control was ordering mass testing of cattle for bird flu for no apparent reason. And this week, I have a story from legalinsurrection.com. It appears that America's cattle ranchers and dairy farmers are quiet quitting pandemic madness. That's right. They say they're just not allowing anyone to come in to test their cows. They're like, thank you, no thanks.
Oh, good.
We appreciate it. We'd rather not test. Now, starting next month, the beast is going to insist that if your cattle don't have the mark, then they can't be traded on the market. So we'll see how long the ranchers can hold out against the beast and the mark and all that. Because if your cattle don't have the mark, you're not going to be able to sell them. You won't be able to buy or sell, is how it goes. And so for now, the ranchers are showing some backbone. But it, now, as soon as their economic liberty is restricted, well, I shouldn't say it that way. As soon as their ability to make the most amount of money is threatened, even the smallest amount, how many of them will give in immediately? I predict almost all of them will. Because it's biblical. You don't have to be a prophet or a professor to figure out that when you threaten people's finances, revenue, you threaten their security, their psychological security. Because people think that having money will make them secure. And so any threat to their money, they're willing to trade almost anything almost immediately. Because people are generally weak and scared and they're cowards. So, but I hope these ranchers, I thought I was going to start out with good news.
Yeah, what's
that? So I hope these ranchers are able to stand against the wiles of the beast over at the Centers for Disease Control. All right. Is there anything more from that? Oh, the virus. Why are they testing all these cattle? Is it because cattle are dropping dead? Is it because farm workers are catching the virus and ending up on a ventilator and dying? No. The virus reduces milk production in cattle. That's the extent of the damage so far. And then a couple people allegedly got the sniffles, but who's to say that they caught that from the cow? Do you believe that they can actually test a farm worker and tell that he caught that virus from that cow and that there's a threat of a jump in transmission? I don't believe any of that. I think it's all smoke and mirrors. Designed to keep people afraid, keep people off balance. And so I'm just not going to participate. I'm not going to play. And I hope the cattle ranchers won't play. So we'll keep you posted on that story. You'll have no choice but to be posted on that story. Because when they disrupt the supply of beef by suddenly saying it's all infected and we can't eat it, do you think that that's possible, that that could happen? That the government would say all beef has to be destroyed today? Do you think that's possible? It's totally possible, right? I know, it sounds insane.
No, they do that.
But they yeah, you remember when they threw away all the iceberg lettuce, was it?
Yeah, and the chicken, too.
Chicken, they're slaughtering chickens like there's no tomorrow. Anyway, just a bunch of insane people who've been given control, or maybe they took control. I don't know who gave the criminally insane sex cult control of the government. I guess we did. Government by the people, for the people, of the people. Look around. Anyway, it's very, very disturbing, but we'll continue to march. We might not be eating a lot of beef. We might be eating nothing but shrimp and soybeans. I don't. Meanwhile, should we check in with the political campaign? We'll check in with the political campaign because, you know, if we want listeners, we have to talk about Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, RFK Jr. But we'll start with Elon Musk because everybody likes to hear about Elon Musk because he's such a genius. Oh, and did I mention he's a billionaire? So this story from the Gateway Pundit starts out. Donald Trump followed up his recent interview with billionaire Elon Musk. Just to remind you, he's a billionaire. In case you weren't impressed, be impressed because Elon Musk is a billionaire. Oh. So Donald Trump did an interview with billionaire Elon Musk and now is floating the possibility that Elon could be a part of Trump's cabinet. That's right. Trump says he's a very smart guy. He's a brilliant guy, says Trump, who's not really that bright. So I can imagine Donald Trump would be impressed. But there are few people who've bamboozled more people than Donald Trump, but Elon Musk is one of them. So Donald Trump is duly impressed with Mr. Musk. And so Elon says he's ready to serve. Yeah, he's ready to serve. In fact, he'll start his own department because he's such a conservative. He'll start another government bureaucracy, and he's going to call it the Department for Government Efficiency. So he's going to start a bureaucracy to manage efficiency. Yeah. I tell you, the guy's a genius. He's a genius. And he'll have billions of dollars allocated for it. Right? That's impressive. Has anyone mentioned to Donald Trump that Elon Musk is a card-carrying member of the Chinese Communist Party? Has anyone mentioned? So, I know. You don't think so. No, he is. He's good friends with the Chinese communists. He's a card-carrying member. Uh-huh. And then, let's see. Musk can be in charge of the Department for Government Efficiency. And then RFK Jr. now has come out and suspended his campaign and endorsed Donald Trump. And RFK Jr. now he can maybe be in the cabinet with Donald Trump, rounding out a Make America Great conservative cabinet with a couple of communists. So RFK Jr. can start, let's see, he could be a cabinet secretary in charge of arranging abortions for Donald Trump's grandchildren. That's what RFK could do. And to make sure that they don't get any vaccines. To get no vaccines, but abortions for all of Donald Trump's grandchildren. That will be what RFK Jr. is in charge of. Uh-huh. And then we go on now. Let's see here. We have more from the political campaign. The most important election in all of eternity. There'll never be another one like it. There has never been one like it before. I mean, there will be in 2 years another one a lot like it. And then in 4 years, it'll be even more like it, except it'll be more important in light of eternity and all that. But Donald Trump now has criticized Kamala Harris, criticized her because he says under Kamala Harris, the interest rates have intensified. Listen to this. This is from my average moron newsfeed over at Yahoo.com. The Yahoo story opens up. High interest rates have intensified. Mortgage costs have hobbled would-be homeowners. And I read that, right? And I'm thinking, do these people have no memory? So a return to relatively normal interest rates after almost 20 years of rates near zero, that's hardly hobbling or intense. It's just normal again, almost. But urinalists over at Yahoo News, which I think is the Associated Press, the urinalists are programmed to generate strife and envy. And so they want the young reader who can't afford to buy a house because you're young. That's why you can't afford to buy a house. Neither could we. We couldn't afford to buy a house. We had to take a risk and borrow a bunch of money. We couldn't. That's normal. It's not hobbling. You're not being discriminated against. You're young and you don't have anything. Get to work. So anyway, but the urinalists reported as if the young people are being ripped off by the old people. Because the urinalists are setting it up so that eventually the young people won't feel so bad about killing all the old people. I know, it sounds crazy. I'm a conspiracy theorist that the young would ever start industrial killing of the old. It's crazy. Anyway, amidst these hobbling intense interest rates near 6 or 7%, Kamala Harris came out last week and unveiled a plan to give $25,000 to first-time home buyers. That's right. Why? Because she's a communist. Everyone knows she's a communist. Is anyone shocked that the communists want to hand out other people? Oh, this won't be any of her money, by the way. She's not going to tap into her retirement to offer $25,000 to anyone, not even to anyone in her own family. Of course, she doesn't have any kids. She out get $25,000 for her cat to get a new house? No. So she's not going to give it to her nephews or nieces, or if she has any of those for real either. Who knows? So she comes out and offers $25,000 to, only to minority, disaffected, disadvantaged, at-risk youth or whatever, however she's, the way the communists always do it. They say free money for everybody, and then you go and you start filling out the paperwork and you find out almost nobody qualifies except people who've donated to the Kamala Harris campaign. Anyway, she comes out, offers $25,000. Trump immediately called the idea a big mistake. Uh-huh. Donald Trump, being an economic genius, he said the reason it was a big mistake to steal money from one person and give it to another, he said, because it would cause a bigger shortage of housing and raise home prices. He did not say that it's wrong for the government to take money by force from one person and give it to another person, because he doesn't think that's wrong. How do I know that? Because almost in the next sentence, he said he might offer $25,000. He said, I might do that, because the reporter followed up and said, well, would you offer any money to people? I might do that. Yeah, because he's a left-wing Democrat, too. He's just not a froth-at-the-mouth communist child molester. That's the only difference between Donald Trump and whoever it is he's running against. And RFK. They're all communists. They're all relatively dim-witted, perverted communists. It's just that Donald Trump doesn't go for the kids like the froth-at-the-mouth communists over there in the Democrat Party. All right. But I might do that. Okay, so there's pretty much... let's close out the election coverage with the Right Gone Wrong file. From the Right Gone Wrong file, Donald Trump promises to punish doctors who perform attempted sex change surgeries on children without parental consent. That's right. Because if you're going to abuse and mutilate children, we certainly want their parents involved. That's the big key difference in policies. That's a sane policy, to allow parents to mutilate their children. He says, Don says, to protect our children from sexual mutilation, we'll make it a felony, I said, for any medical professional to perform surgery on a minor without parental consent. Ah, yeah. Oh, and he also came out And he vowed to, via his mouthpiece, Vance. What is it, Trump Vance? It was Trump Pence, now it's Trump Vance. Vance came out and said Don and him will veto any federal law against murder. If anyone tries to pass a federal law against murder, Donald Trump and Judd Vance have vowed to veto any federal law against murder. Oh, now that's only the murder of the unborn, not taxpayers. Murdering taxpayers will still remain a federal crime. But murdering unborn children, they have vowed it shall never be a federal crime in a Trump, Pence, Vance administration because they intend to make America great again. I am here. That's right. It's the celebrity presidential. I predicted, let's see, shortly after the 2016 shock presidential election win of the relatively dim-witted, vulgar Democrat Donald Trump as the conservative savior of America, I predicted that there would only be celebrities after that. And so my prediction has not been... it has not been broken because Joe Biden was installed. He wasn't even a real president. He wasn't even elected. So I predicted that only celebrities would be elected. And so now if they install Kamala, so my prediction will still hold in that we have not had a non-celebrity elected because, of course, it's all fake. So the election is not even real. So I was reading an article. What's going to happen when they steal the election in 2024? Are Americans going to rise up and all of that? And the basic prediction was, no, they won't. They're not going to rise up because, let's see here. Donald Trump, no surgeries on minors without parental consent. Okay, we already did that story. I have another story here from my average moron feed that I get from Yahoo News. This is from the widespread panic file. The headline at the top of the Yahoo feed for the average moron out there. FDA approves new COVID vaccine. Here's the best time to get it. Right? Yeah. The implication is as soon as I read the first part, I'm wondering, when's the best time to get my next vaccine? Because I'm the average moron. So the article it's just laughable. The number of people testing positive for COVID keeps rising. Hospitalizations are rising too. Aww. Yes, this is in the news story. Okay. And then the article continues. It's unclear exactly how effective the latest vaccines will be, but experts expect that they will protect against severe illness. Don't read this too carefully. Move on to the next part. Because, okay. So why they even put that in there is beyond me. Obviously, the AI chatbot that wrote this article, it felt obligated to put in something that resembled something having something to do with something true. Yeah, just The only thing that's true there is it's unclear how effective. Actually, that's not even true. It's fairly clear that now that they're not effective because everybody keeps getting colds and then not just saying I had a cold. No, they go get tested for COVID. Ah, no, I don't know. All right, I'm just going to leave it aside because it's just all insanity. The article continues, alleged changes in the viral genome are incremental. Now, I said alleged because I actually don't believe any of this anymore. That they're tracking the genetic alterations of the virus and then they're tweaking the... I'm sorry. I think it's just a racket. Okay, now the latest alleged genome that's been identified associated with this particular virus is KP3.1.1. Uh-huh. And one of the experts, a CDC chatbot named Phil or something, he says that these viral incremental changes in the genome, they do not change the overall picture. KP3.1.1 is just another step in the road that the overall Omicron lineage is taking toward greater transmissibility. Now, at this point, that's way too many syllables for the average moron. They've lost track of what they're even reading about. They just know that they need to get this vaccine. And they're wondering, when's the best time to get it?
Well, that's right. That was
the article. They're like, when are they going to get to the best time to get it? Should I get it, like, right now? Should I wait? So, now, you guys remember the Omicron strain, right? That was the one where if you rearrange the letters, it spells moronic. I know, this you can't make that up. So you remember that one. That was the one that everyone caught and nobody got really sick. And that was where we could have just started saying, you know, this is just a cold. But we didn't. We started allegedly tracking the genetic variances and the geniuses at Pfizer and Moderna are spinning up the latest of protection for us. Anyway, the article goes on now because the Omicron lineage is moving toward greater transmissibility. Don't ask what that means. Transmissibility, that means be scared. You need this vaccine because this thing is transmissible. Do you know what that means? Don't ask what that means. It means it could transmit right into you and you could get it. And then you could transmit it to others. Why? It's transmissible. That's the one thing we know. And the AI chatbot who wrote this article for the Associated Press says that transmissibility means we'll be getting a yearly updated COVID vaccine. Yearly. We'll be. We. Because, you know, we're all in this together. The chatbot implies that we're with him, her, it. I don't know what you call a chatbot. But we'll be getting a yearly updated COVID vaccine, just like the annual flu shots that the average moron goes and takes every year because they're morons. So it's the moronic, it's the Omicron lineage. This year, reports the chatbot, only 14% of children ages 6 months to 17 got vaccinated. Only 14%. The CDC recommended that all Americans age 6 months and older get the new shots. Darn it, Americans, you are not toeing the line on this. You are falling down. Only 14% of your children have been vaccinated. Didn't you hear me? The CDC recommends all. Oh, everyone, get in line. Okay, now finally we get to the most vital part of the article, the subheadline, when should I get the new COVID vaccine? Oh, finally, I need to know. And the chatbot writes, the question of timing for the most protection through the winter is urgent. The question of timing is an urgent question. if you're a middle-aged white chick wearing a mask at the grocery store? It's an urgent question. According to CDC guidelines, if you've already had COVID, you may consider delaying your vaccine dose by 3 months, implying that having COVID might somehow protect you against COVID, which that was disinformation 3 years ago. Right? You'd be sent to a gulag in Australia for implying that catching it might provide some protection. Now they're willing to concede possibly that it might give you a few months. You know, it's kind of like catching a cold. Chances are you won't get another cold for a few months. I mean, it's possible, but usually you don't get another cold right after you had a cold. Remember all that stuff we told you to completely forget about? It's okay that you might start thinking about it again. So if you've had COVID, you could delay your vaccine by 3 months because after that, then after you get the vaccine, you might get COVID. So get your vaccine is the bottom line, obviously, because how much will it cost? Now, there's another question. How much will it cost is the third subhead in the Omicron chatbot article here from the Associated Press. And they report that. Now, nobody's ever thought about this before because nobody's ever paid for vaccines, for COVID vaccines, since the great bamboozle began. So, right? Nobody's paid for them. So all of a sudden, they're like, oh, it's going to cost me money now? Yeah. As a matter of fact, Pfizer, Moderna, and Novavax are charging about $150 per dose for a COVID vaccine. At which point, the average moron is like, what? $150? That's like tickets to a Taylor Swift concert. You're asking me to spend that on a vaccine? And then they start thinking, well, wait a minute. Everyone I know who's vaccinated has gotten COVID. God, maybe I don't need this vaccine. And suddenly, economic reality finally breaks through because they can't afford their Taylor Swift tickets. They actually start to think about stuff. Well, maybe I don't need the vaccine. So I've had COVID 5 times since I got vaccinated. So I'd rather go see Taylor Swift, by golly. Wait, before you go. People with public and private health insurance, which is almost everybody, especially in the average moron pool, they should pay nothing out of pocket as long as they stick with an in-network provider. That's right. Stay in-network. Slip out of network. Boom. The $150. Now you're not going to Taylor Swift. You're going to stay home because you got vaccinated and then you caught COVID and you're going to be hacking and coughing for the whole weekend. Congratulations. So immediately, unless you've had, oh, I'm sorry, I almost left that important critical part out. The girl who pulled her mask down to hear me more clearly, she's like, wait a minute, tell me when. I'm supposed to get it. You're supposed to get it immediately, if not sooner, unless you've had COVID. And then, of course, the most important factor about getting the vaccine is, do you want COVID? If you want COVID, definitely get the vaccine. Yeah. Okay. And then after you get the vaccine, be sure to get a half a dozen COVID tests so that every time you hiccup or sniffle or sneeze, you can test yourself for COVID. Trust me, eventually you'll get it. Okay. Now, let's move to reason number 2,141 to get or keep your children out of the government schools is reported to us this week from Answers in Genesis. I got an email, a mass marketing email in my Gmail inbox, where the folks at Answers in Genesis said, before your kids graduate high school, they will have spent 50 classroom hours and read more than 250 pages teaching them evolution. It'll hurt their faith and maybe shipwreck their faith. The teaching in the schools that your children are getting, it maligns God and discredits Scripture. Parents must work hard to counteract the indoctrination our kids are receiving.
help your kids discover the truth, let me sell you these fine products from Answers in Genesis, because we'll try to revert the brainwashing that your children are getting in the government schools. And then they go on to outline how all these products they have. And I'm thinking, hey, Answers in Genesis, I thought you guys are Christians. Urging parents to counteract the indoctrination that their kids are getting at the state school. I mean, that's missing the mark, Answers. That's to put it lightly, for crying out loud. As godly people, our first responsibility must be warning parents against the sin of submitting their children to an officially atheist, aggressively antichrist, deep state education. That's our first responsibility. You should be leading with that message, not just selling a product and leaving the important part out. That now you're in the transgression with the moronic parents feeding their children into the state schools. So I emailed this back to them. And I said, please consider this an admonition to do. I was more diplomatic in my response. And I wasn't shouting. But this upset me. I said, please consider this an admonition to do what's right in love by a Christian parent. And so I'm reminded, I would not trust anyone at Answers in Genesis to teach my kids a Bible study anywhere past about Genesis 9. And even then, I would have to review whatever they're... So all you parents who think that Answers in Genesis, you buy the product from Answers in Genesis, stick it in front of your kid's face, you think that makes up for the 30 hours a week you put them out there in the government schools? No. It doesn't help at all. And Answers in Genesis are mostly biblical lightweights who can't swing their way outside of Genesis, in my humble opinion. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. It's just like a 80s rock band. Three chords. That's about all. Answers in Genesis plays about three chords. That's it. And not that creation's not important. I creationism is important. It's all right, but you make a career out of it, and then it becomes a giant institution, and before you know it, you lose your way. It's just they should disband it. Disband your whole organization, donate your ark to anyone else, and move on. All right. Their email to me is evidence that their organization has achieved diminishing returns at this point. They've achieved their maximum impact, and it's time for them to go away, just like every institution. No institution should survive longer than the life of one guy. And I guess Ken Ham's still alive. But, you know, you should have the decency to bow out before you get old and doddering, for crying out loud. Allow your organization to fall into the hands of a bunch of liberals. A bunch of biblically illiterate liberals. All right. You know, not that Ken Ham was ever a theological genius. So just because you can see the obviousness of creation, that doesn't make you a genius in my book. All right. So yeah, you're going to have to come up with something more to impress me. I mean, oh, God created everything in the beginning. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So now let's move on to the now that I've offended just about everyone. I don't think there's anyone left now.
Okay, so let's go from there to the insurrection file, where the government of the United Kingdom plans to release 5,000 or 6,000 prisoners early out of their prisons to free up space to sentence the rioters, the anti-immigration rioters. That's right. They're calling it Operation Early Dawn, which that sounds like it's a line out of the Quran. It's just weird. Operation Early Dawn to clear prison space amid the sentencing of anti-immigration rioters, protesters, and social media posters. So in England, they're having a bit of a dust-up over the fact that they've imported hundreds of thousands of third-world degenerate, radical Muslims, right? And all of a sudden, the people in England who've just been partying and getting wasted, they're waking up hungover and realizing that their country's been conquered by third world degenerate maniacs. And everyone in England is surprised. And so now they're getting upset about it. And there have been some riots. Some windows have been broken. Some police have been punched in the face. And some buildings have been set. So I don't know if buildings have been set on fire. Some tires have been set on fire. Anyway, people who do that stuff, they should be, first of all, anyone who starts rioting should immediately be shot. Just shot in the street in front of the other people so that the riot stops. If you're not shot and you manage to survive for whatever reason, police or whatever, kind of slack, then you should be prosecuted if you're a rioter. Now, if you're a protester, that by definition means you're nonviolent. You should not be arrested or harassed in any way. And then if you're a social media poster, which means you post saying, I'm against all this insane immigration of third world degenerates into my country, well, obviously you shouldn't be arrested, but you will be in England. Why? Well, because while you were getting drunk and partying, you gave your country away to a bunch of communists and perverts. Yeah, maybe you should have come home a little earlier from the pub. Maybe you shouldn't have been clubbing all weekend, every weekend, for the last 75 years. Because you woke up hungover and you found out that your country'd been taken away. Anyway, about 1,000 people have been arrested in connection with the outbreak of violence or for posts on social media, which, right, the average Englishman is like, wait a minute, posting on social media can get me arrested? At which point he's jerked out of his own house by the police and thrown in jail for noting that he's surprised that he could be arrested for... Hey, welcome to England. Anyway, all this started following, you'll remember we reported on this, the mass stabbing at a children's dance party, which I think I'm the only person in the world who asked, what is that? What's a children's dance party? Does that not bother anyone that's happening? It was a Taylor Swift-themed children's dance party with like 4-year-olds. It's like, I want to know who's running that, and could we run a background check or maybe arrest that guy or that couple or whoever it is? A children's dance party. Okay. Anyway, it was a Rwandan migrant teen who slashed all the children at the party because England's been handed over to the likes of him, which is why he did that, because he could. Well, now that the Brits are shaking off the long weekend and they're realizing that their country's been conquered by third world deviant maniacs, they've begun to riot and they've decided to try to resist. Some are protesting, some are posting on social media and finding out that you might as well riot because they're going to throw you in jail for protesting. Or posting on social media, which means why not start setting things on fire? I mean, if I'm going to go to jail, you might as well at least make a statement. Well, the Justice Secretary in England, she'll have none of any of it. Whether you want to riot, whether you want to protest, whether you want to post on social media, Anyone who complains about the conquest of England by the third world deviant maniacs and the leftist communists who are in league with them for whatever reason, I don't understand it. So how is it that you're like a middle-aged leftist white woman in England and you're running the country? Why do you decide to hand it over to Muslim men who would just as soon slit your throat? How does that happen? What are the middle-aged leftist women who run Europe? What are they thinking about? Do they think it's going to be okay that Mahmoud's going to like them because they give him free government cheese? Mahmoud's going to eat the cheese and he's going to cut your head off. But I, who knows? Who can tell what people are thinking about? It could be that the elite, leftist, pale women running Europe, they think they're immune from this. They're so elite that they don't realize that eliteness doesn't protect your neck from the sword of Allah. So I was watching a video. I wish I'd have never watched this video. So there's a guy pushing a stroller down the street with what you would assume is his wife. So it's a man and a woman and a child. With the child's in a stroller, they're walking down the street, and the dad has words with a Muslim kid. Turns, and obviously there's some insult. I don't know. There's no audio. The Muslim kid pulls out a knife and stabs the dad in the neck, and blood starts squirting out. And then later, the video, the guy's laying in the street. This is in Birmingham, England. A guy walking down the street pushing a stroller somehow has a confrontation with a Muslim kid, and the Muslim kid slashes his throat. And the British guy is standing there like just helpless. It's a perfect picture of Europe right now. And then I read the article, the it was a man and a partner and their child, his partner and their child, whatever that means. Yeah, that means that he was not prepared to protect himself and his wife and children, because it's not his wife. But so anyway, just Europe. Europe's been laid naked against the Muslim hordes. And that was a very disturbing video. I wish I didn't. Anyway, now back to this article about the government there. The Justice Secretary, Shabana Mahmoud, says that she is, so there's so much wrong with that sentence. Okay, Justice Secretary, first of all, that it's she, that's a problem. And then that it's Shabana Mahmoud, that's a problem. Has anyone in England realized that your Justice Secretary is Shabana Mahmoud? So, oh, no, Doug, that's racist for you to even notice that she's a Muslim. Maybe she's, that's just her name is Muslim. And I looked her up. She was born in England. And in 2010, she became, this is according to the BBC, in 2010, Shabana Mahmoud became one of the first female Muslim ministers of parliament. Now, why wasn't she the first? Because there was an avalanche of them that year. There was a flood of Muslim women elected to the parliament in England in 2010. So she was just one of the first female Muslim MPs, along with a flood of others, elected that year because there apparently were no British men available to run the government. So it's been handed over to Muslim women, who, along with the pale, middle-aged, white leftists, have handed over the country to young Muslim men who carry knives and are paying attention. They're not clubbing all weekend. So anyway, Justice Secretary Mahmoud says those convicted of domestic abuse, sexual offenses, terrorism, and some violent offenses will not be eligible for the early release under Operation Early Dawn. She promises, we're not going to let any of the really bad guys out. Also, we're not going to let out anyone who has been arrested in the recent riots. They will not be eligible either. If you've been involved in those riots, which includes posting on social media and protesting, by the way, we're going to throw you in. We're going to leave the rapists and the murderers in jail, and we're going to throw you in there with them. Why? Well, you should have come home from the pub earlier. This is what you get. Exactly what you deserve. So you allow your country to be taken over by a bunch of perverts because you're too busy entertaining yourself and stuffing your face and partying. Well, this is what happens when you wake up hungover and Mahmoud's got a knife. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. That's our Australian contribution in the face of the Answers in Genesis trying to hawk you products instead of telling you to get your kids out of the government schools. Hey, at least with AC/DC, you knew what where they were coming from. They had an album called Highway to Hell, right? So with Answers in Genesis, they want to hawk you some products and not warn you that you're... So who's worse? So I'll let you decide. Meanwhile, I got to talk about, all the big... So I watched the DNC. Actually, I didn't watch any of the DNC. But I watched some of the reports on the DNC. None of the video. Because you don't want to... Some things you can't unsee. And you don't even want to risk what you might see by watching the DNC. So I just watched, or I read some printed reports on it. And I believe that now that the DNC is over, there's an even greater chance that Hillary Clinton will have Kamala Harris killed before the election than there is that she'll have Donald Trump killed. Just out of pure spite and hatred and envy, because Hillary doesn't get to be the first lesbian who identifies as a black woman to be the president, black or otherwise, or Caribbean, Indian, or whatever it is. So Hillary's very upset. So I would say that the odds for Hillary killing Kamala are at least as good as the odds that Frank Luntz and Karl Rove will kill Donald Trump. Pretty even, very similar. If you're in the gambling markets, there they have those now where you can bet on the election. So I would bet that even odds that Hillary kills Kamala before Luntz and Rove kill Donald Trump. That's right, because Rove and the other Luntz, their embarrassment and jealousy over Trump is more palpable than Hillary's hatred for Kamala. Hey, and remember, Hillary's killed a lot more people than Karl Rove or Frank Luntz. Hillary cut their double chins off and choked them out with the fat before they ever even knew they were in a fight with her.
Oh, my
gosh. You see? Anyway, Trump made it through the best chance to kill him, right, with the slack Secret Service protection over there in Butler, Pennsylvania, with the assassination attempt. With the deep state nonstop, deep state media colluding to like nonstop recruitment of mentally unstable children. All the powers that be have been putting out all the signals for every mentally deficient leftist white kid. And it turns out the only kid they could find, he just wasn't up to the job. Donald Trump is fortunate for the condition of American youth. Saved his life, right? The fact that the youth can't do anything. Hey, Lee Harvey Oswald, he might have been a misfit, but at least he could hit a target one out of three shots. So, I mean, he did hang with the Marines for a little while. I mean, until they kicked him out. So the Marine Corps kicked Lee Harvey Oswald out for being a misfit. And trust me, folks, you have to be a pretty serious misfit to get kicked out of the Marines. I know we're supposed to say that they're all heroes, but I was in the Marines. And I'm telling you, you got to be a pretty big misfit to get kicked out. They don't call themselves Uncle Sam's misguided children for nothing. So anyway, but the punk who shot Trump... That kid, he would have never even made one day at boot camp. He is a perfect representation of the men of his generation, right? A feminized nothing. empty, hollow, vacuous, disabled by his godless parents, easily manipulated, without any conscience, but disabled to the point of incompetence, even at doing evil. And so now Trump will just have to get through the arrest and the jail time from Judge Mershan over there, right? Which that will guarantee Donald Trump the most votes in any election ever. But I'm pretty sure Kamala will get more when the final count comes in, like sometime around Christmas. So that's if she survives Hillary. And seriously, there's no guarantee of that. Hillary, she'll cut you. All right. Now, more from Europe. Well, speaking of cutting and all, listen to this article from, this is from Breitbart, obviously just pulled down from The Wire, because I just don't think the people at Breitbart are this stupid or shoddy, but who knows? Journalism has infected every crevice of all media at this point. So the article opens up, tragedy struck the city of Solingen, Germany, as they celebrated their 650th anniversary with a festival of diversity. That's right. Tragedy struck. So what? A tornado? Lightning? An earthquake? No. It was a Muslim with a knife who started stabbing people in the neck, as many people as he could stab. And he killed three of them and wounded five. Killed three, wounded five, stabbed them all in the neck. Just like the guy I watched on the video there in Birmingham, England. Stabbed. You know that's in the Quran? Strike them in the neck? That's actually in the Quran that Muslims are supposed to do against everyone who's not a Muslim. Strike at their neck. And so that's what this guy did at the Festival of Diversity. I don't know what that is, but it's Europe. It's Germany. It's a festival of diversity, which I assume means that there was some parading around of perverts and queers and deviants and creeps. Because I think that's what diversity means. That means creeps, deviants, and perverts on display in public, in your face, in front of God and everybody. And so this Muslim kid just goes crazy. Why? Because he's a terrorist. He's been told by his false god to stab the infidels in the neck. And so when he sees them prancing around and parading their perversion in front of his eyes, hey, he's able to work up the motivation to actually strike at their necks. And what do? They just cry and freak out and bleed and fall over and die because they're helpless. And they're getting exactly what they deserve, these perverted European godless heathens. So eyewitnesses said they saw the man fleeing the scene. However, no description of the suspect was immediately made public. Why? I don't know why. It's as if the media and the governments of Europe are a bunch of suicidal children. They don't want to tell people, look out, there's a Muslim guy running around with a knife striking at the necks of people. Because, I don't know, that would be offensive or scary or racist. I don't know. It turns out it was a Muslim screaming Allahu Akbar, striking at the necks of, I'll just say Europeans. I'll leave it at that. I should take it easy. I know I should be more graceful with people, but it's just... It's sad to see the Festival of Diversity. After the striking of the necks and the three people bled out in front of the stage and the other five were rushed to the hospital, the festival was shut down. So what does it take to stop the parading and prancing of perversion in public in Europe? A bloodbath apparently is effective. Now, the mayor there of Solingen, Mayor Tim, he said, tonight we are all in shock, fright, and great sadness. That's what you want to hear from the leader of the city. Yeah, right? You got someone running around, a maniac with a knife. That's what I want to hear. The mayor's scared. What, are you hiding under your desk? Lock yourself in your bathroom and start weeping? Thank you very much. This perfect picture of the European male. So now listen to what he says, too. This godless pervert heathen who sits atop the pile of the bureaucratic deviant cesspool running the city of Solingen, Germany. He says, I pray for all those who are still fighting for their lives. I ask that if you believe, pray with me. And if you don't, then hope with me. And he never mentions who he's praying to or anything. It's like I'm praying to I don't even know who or what. And I know that most of you have no idea what I mean by even saying prayer. So I'll just ask that you hope, because if we hope and pray together, we can all bleed out in front of the stage together. Mahmoud can run down the street with his knife while we all pray and hope and bleed. And then now to top off this story, by the way, this was pulled down off the wire on Breitbart. To top off this story, the article closes with the following statement. There has been concern about increased knife violence in Germany. That's according to the Interior Minister, whose name is Nancy. Okay. All right, so Mahmoud has a knife, but it's okay. Nancy's in charge. She's the Interior Minister, and she has proposed allowing only knives with blades up to 2.4 inches rather than the current blades, which are allowed to be 4.7 inches. So Nancy's solution to Mahmoud running through the crowd with a knife is to pass a law regulating the length of the knife blade that Mahmoud can stick into your neck. She only wants Mahmoud to be able to bury that knife 2.4 inches into your neck, not 4.7. That's insane. Because everyone knows that the jugular only lies 2.4 inches. He'll never get you. So thankfully, Nancy's there to help protect. Okay, meanwhile, while all that was going on, while Europe is bleeding out in front of Mahmoud with his knife, the Houthis blew up a Greek-flagged oil tanker. And the video is quite impressive. They hit it with a surface-to-surface missile, which is fairly impressive for a bunch of guys who barely know how to read or write. Yeah, the Houthis are claiming credit for destroying the Greek tanker called, they had the name of it, as if you care, it doesn't matter. Anyway, you can see video of the ship exploding and then burning as it sits adrift in the Red Sea right now. It's just sitting there burning, flaming hulk. The EU naval mission was able to rescue the sailors on board, but the ship and all the oil is just burning. It's just a flaming tribute to Muslim terrorism, right? It's just sitting there burning in the Red Sea, black smoke going up into the heavens. The attack on the Greek-flagged Sunion is one of the most brazen attacks yet, and it raises concerns that the attack could trigger an Article 5 declaration by NATO, because Greece, you see, is a NATO member. What is an Article 5 declaration? Well, it's something like a declaration of war, although nobody does that anymore. But it's a declaration that NATO would actually take action against the nation of Yemen. That's what so for all intents and purposes, an Article 5 declaration would mean a declaration of war against Yemen by NATO. But don't worry, NATO is not about to do that, because NATO's not about destroying the enemies of liberty and winning wars against 7th century savages and maniacs. NATO is a pile of queers and gluttons who host banquets and go clubbing. And so they're not good. They're not about any of that. Don't worry about a declaration of anything, except a declaration about champagne and shrimp. And that maybe interior design. They might make a declaration on the colors of the curtains at the next banquet, which they might want to consider blood red, so that it goes with the other decor. Meanwhile, from the war file, A Beirut airstrike killed Hezbollah deputy leader Fouad Shukr last month. At least that's what the Times of Israel was told to print. It's because, you know, there's so much going on over there now that you've got intelligence agencies planting stories to scare people or to make people think one thing, to deflect and to mislead so that Mahmoud can walk into the next missile strike. So there are still a few people, apparently, in Israel paying attention. Some of the kids haven't gone queer. A few. There's only a few left. So allegedly what happened, this Hezbollah leader, Fouad, Fouad Shukr went into hiding after he helped plan the 1985 hijacking of TWA Flight 847 from Athens. You remember that one? He has been wanted in the United States for orchestrating the bombing that killed 241 Marines at the U.S. Marine Barracks in Beirut in 1982. That's how long this guy has been an enemy of liberty and freedom-loving people and all of that. So according to someone who planted the story, a telephone call telling the terror chief to go up from his second floor office to the seventh floor residence made him a much easier target for the missile that blew him off the face of the earth through the seventh floor window. You see, hitting him on the second floor was difficult because of traffic and trees and street signs and things. So a phone call, hey, Fouad, come on up to the seventh floor. And then, boom, they hit him with a missile. All right. And so the, Hezbollah, someone at Hezbollah had made a comment on the story to the Wall Street Journal. So how is it that Wall Street Journal gets a quote from a Hezbollah official? So like you're friendly with the terrorists, you have their cell phone numbers over there? I don't get that. Anyway, Hezbollah official told the Wall Street Journal they believe Israel's superior technological capabilities bested the terror group's counter-surveillance system. That was Mahmoud over at Hezbollah. He says it was Israel's superior technological capabilities. No. You know what happened to Fouad Shukr? It's not that Israel had superior technological capabilities. It's that everyone hates Hezbollah, Iran, and Hamas. And most importantly, someone very close to Fouad Shukr hated him. That's why he got killed, because someone very close to him turned on him and told the Jews exactly how, probably called him on the phone. Hey, Fouad, it's your buddy Mahmoud. Come on up to the seventh floor. Because Mahmoud hates Fouad, because eventually they all end up hating each other. The godless all end up hating each other and killing one another. And so someone finally hated Fouad enough. I'm sorry, it's Fouad. I apologize for mispronouncing Fouad's name. Someone hated Fouad enough to finally set him up to get killed to get exactly what he deserves. And then eventually the person who hated Fouad, so he'll get what he deserves too. So unless he repents. So that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview. But we always try to preach the gospel that Jesus Christ offers grace and forgiveness to anyone who'll believe, even Fouad or the Mahmoud, the guy with the knife, the guy who killed Fouad. And so, but unless that happens, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. All right. Let's see. What do I want to end with? So Breonna Taylor. You remember Breonna Taylor? She was the black girl who the cops just broke in and shot her for no reason because they wanted to just kill a black girl. Well, a judge has ruled that Breonna Taylor's death was caused by her boyfriend, the drug dealer who shot at the police who came into the house, causing the police to return fire, and that he was the cause of her death. It was because he was a drug dealer shooting at the cops. So the Deep State Department of Justice sought federal charges against the officers after the high-profile 2020 case that many activists took up as a cause during the BLM protests and riots. Here we go again, protests and riots. So if there are riots, you can't mention the protests because the riots take precedence over the protests. But tell the folks at the post-millennial that. So, there were riots. What was happening in 2020 was riots. And now we know that the riots were all based on lies. Like Breonna Taylor was just having a cup of tea and the cops broke in and said, look, a black girl, kill her. No, it turns out that she was a drug dealer. Her boyfriend was a drug dealer. And they end up getting killed because they were irresponsible drug dealing children who shot at the cops. And a couple of cops were actually paying attention. There's still a few. All right. And I guess that's it. Do I want to end with Breonna Taylor? Yeah, that's one to end on. All right, thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio, the only people who tolerate me at all anymore, the only people I haven't offended to the point where they don't come around anymore. So thank you, and thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord, Terry will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.